So I'm calling this message the church blueprint. The church blueprint. How many know that there is an ideal, there is a blueprint, there is a standard, you know, that God gave us, you know, since the book of Acts of what church should look like. Strategies change, you know, the conditions and the circumstances change, but the church has a blueprint to follow. I want to touch on that today. And so just remember that God has four goals for you, and Shiloh has four goals for you for this year. Number one is that you know God. Everybody say, know God. Number two, experience freedom. Say, experience freedom. Number three, find family. Everybody say, find family. And finally, fulfill your purpose. Amen. So let me ask it a little differently for you for 2021. Or this is a question you can ask yourself. What am I doing to know God in 2021? As my Savior, my Lord, my Father, my friend. And that's kind of like a progression. He needs to be your Lord and Savior. Then you need to see Him as your Father. And then finally, you know, some people really get to that intimacy where you see God as a friend, kind of like Abraham and Enoch. Number two, what am I doing to experience freedom? Freedom from your past, from regrets, from insecurities, and from curses and bondage. How many know we all bring baggage into a Christian walk, just like we do into marriage or anything like that? And God, you know, thank God that, you know, there's still more freedom to be attained, but none of us are where we began. God has taken us along the way. Number three, what am I doing to find family? Are you being, do you have the initiative to connect and establish strong bonds with men and women of God? It is important that you step out and connect with people. And last one, what am I doing to fulfill my purpose? What am I doing to fulfill my purpose? To know what God has for me, to start walking in it, no matter how difficult it might be. I'm declaring this will be the year of preparation for me, a year of beginnings, a year of fully realizing what God has designed for me to be. I want you to ask yourself those four questions as we think about the church blueprint, because God has equipped the church. And He's equipped Shiloh specifically to address these four, but you got to answer the call. Look what it says in Acts chapter 2, verses 41 through 47. This is our base scripture. We're going to be going back and forth to this passage. This is the blueprint right here. Pentecost occurs in the upper room. The Holy Spirit comes down. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. Tongues of fire appear above them. You know, they speak in diverse languages. It astounds the community. So people are saying, oh, these people are drunk. Peter says, no, we're not drunk. It's only in the morning time. So then he begins to defend, you know, what they're doing. And he says, no, you know, this is what God had told us about since the prophet Joel, that he said that in the last days he will pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. And then he begins to preach about Jesus. And he says, this is the one that you crucified. You crucified him. You killed him, you know, because of your sins. And it says in that place that the people were cut to the heart. The conviction of God fell upon their lives so strongly that said, brethren, what do we do? What do we do? And it says, we need to repent and be baptized so that God, you know, will save you and will give you His Holy Spirit. And then immediately after that, it says that this happened. Those who believe what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day. How many? About 3,000 in all. Come on, the very first harvest. Oh, that's when the harvest began. The era, you know, of harvest began. Remember we talked about the prophetic calendar? It began right there. All the believers, how many? All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. Come on, that's the blueprint right there. And then it says, a deep sense of awe came over them, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. Hallelujah. They didn't have a church building, but they still got together. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And then it says here, and each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Come on, this should be a key scripture, the blueprint for 2021. This is the standard. This is the ideal. Yes, the circumstances are different. We do have a church building. We have a lot of freedoms in America. You know, they had a set of challenges with the Roman occupation. We have our own set of challenges with a, you know, secular society. and people that are going away from God, when we're hearing about abortion, we're hearing about anti-Semitism and a globalist agenda that's trying to destroy, you know, the purpose why this nation, you know, was founded. Amen? So one thing is clear in 2021, we're not going to go back. We cannot go back to the type of life and mindsets we had prior to 2020. Let's just be honest. We were comfortable. Life was good. Life was sweet. But God has said, I'm going to shake everything that must be shaken. Hallelujah. That which is eternal will rise to the surface. There's things that you used to care about that you no longer care about. Why? 2020 happened. We all have 2020 hindsight today, don't we? Yes, I know. You knew that was coming. You know, the elections, COVID-19, racial tensions, economic ups and downs. Some people, you know, were happy a couple days ago because you got $600 per person, right? Well, some people lost their jobs, lost their businesses. They had a huge downturn. But I can say that this, though it shook our communities, it also awakened the church. It awakened the church. It has emboldened the church. It's caused for a reason to occur. To go back to the blueprint. How are we supposed to be living our lives? How are we supposed to do business on a daily way? Basis. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. I was already ahead. We have come to realize that God is doing something new. The Bible says, "Deep calls unto deep." Some things can only be discerned by the Spirit. And if you pray, if you're seeking God, if you worship Him, you know, God begins to drop impressions into your heart, dreams and visions to some, so that you know what He's doing. And while everybody else is running amok and they don't know what's going on, the Bible calls it a confident hope that is in you that God is up to something. That God is up to something. Like the day of Elijah, I said, God, show them up. Send your fire that everyone will know that you are the real God. I was asking God, what are you up to? What are you up to, God? What are you going to do next? Because God is setting us up, people. I'm telling you, whatever it's going to be, is going to be good. You need to get it down in your spirit, the hope of God. Hallelujah. Some things have happened this year that were terrible. You know, and God can use the same event, like we said before, to judge some, to warn some, and to shake some. Yeah, judgment is not for the church. That's not, you know, the Bible says we're not appointed unto wrath. However, if you've been warned and warned and warned, you know, then God may have to sift you a little stronger to get your attention. He doesn't want you to continue to live loosely. Because judgment, the Bible says, begins with the house of the Lord. And we've seen even in this past year, some Christian leaders have been exposed, right? Thank God that He's merciful. They have an opportunity not to repent. I mean, one of them didn't because he was already dead, you know, if you know what I'm talking about. But I assume he repented before that all that happened. It was just very shameful. But God cannot judge the world if He doesn't judge the church first. We cannot live loosely. Amen? But God is doing something new in the church. There's a new praise. I believe there's going to be new strategies, new creativity, a fresh love for the cross. We can never walk away from the cross. We can never stop preaching the cross. The Bible says that the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those that are perishing, but to those of us who are being saved. It is the power of God unto salvation. It is our very life. The cross is so important to us. We have broken free, listen, from the notion that the government can save us. All right, in case we had any idea that might happen, the government is as lost as anybody. All right? Or that global leaders have our best interests in hand, the WHO, the UN, UNESCO, you know, other nations. So we're stepping into a season like this very people in the book of Acts, full dependence on God. Full dependence on God. In the passage we read, the church was in the middle of something completely new. They had never seen this. It was the beginning of the church. This church blueprint, the standard, the ideal, the measuring stick for every form of church. It was marked by fervency, boldness, unity, salvations, miracles, influence, and many other descriptors. It started with Pentecost, the outpouring of the Spirit, like I said. It was the very first harvest. 3,000 men came to Christ. And they came out bold, full of the Holy Spirit. Remember the bear Peter, who had just weeks prior had denied Jesus. He couldn't stand up for Jesus. All of a sudden, full of the Holy Spirit. He's like, come on, bring him on. I don't care what happens to me. We see a couple of chapters later, he gets whipped. And he's like rejoices coming out of there. He gets jailed, and he gets broken out of jail. You know, the same guy. God could do something amazing if we're filled with the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit today. Hallelujah. We need the church blueprint. The last 2,000 years, the church has been or should have been in full gathering mode. I know there's passages in history where we didn't see a whole lot. You know, to call them the Dark Ages and the Middle Ages, the church kind of took a bad turn and it lost its way. But thank God that God loves us too much and he's always kept a remnant and there's always been a harvest all throughout the last 2,000 years. Strategies changed, like I said, the fishing lure may differ in how we reach people today, but it's still the work of the Holy Spirit through conviction in the hearts of men and the revelation of the truth that Jesus died on the cross to pay for the forgiveness of our sins that brings us to redemption, because this world is not our home. This world is not our home. I know before you're like, I like this world. And now you're like, you know what? I'm kind of done with this world. I'm ready to move on, God. Yeah, what else do you have for us? I think it's time. So in 2021, Shiloh, the church, and I say the church with a capital C, the global church, need to be about the Father's business, to win the lost, to disciple, and to add people to the body. This was Jesus' commandment in Matthew 28. What did he say? Go, it's an action, and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything, says, that I have commanded you, but I'm with you every day to the end of the age. I am with you, church. I'm not going to leave you alone. And I'm sending you a comforter, he said as well. Hallelujah. This commandment is still in effect. And think about this. The church is the only organization that once you join it, it is no longer about you. All of us want to get into those clubs and those memberships so we get all those benefits, right? But it's interesting, this is the only organization that once you join it, it is no longer about you. You are saved. You're going to heaven. Now let's go win somebody else. One more soul. Everybody say, one more soul. That is our job, people. Not just the pastors. Sheep beget sheep, not shepherds. Amen? Hallelujah. Bible says that he gave us, you know, in Ephesians 4:11, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists, it says to prepare the church for the work of the ministry, to edify the church for the work of the ministry. So we're to prepare you, not just so you can sit there on your chair, very comfortable one, thank God, you know, but so that we can go out and turn the world upside down through the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So here we have the first church serving as the model, the ideal of how church should operate. There was no church building. The focus was the people. Loving God, loving people. That's what we always say. To preach and demonstrate the gospel so that all that come into contact had an opportunity to know God, to experience freedom, to find a family, and to fulfill their purpose. So I'm going to give you some keys in the simplicity of how the church first operated. And as we begin 2021, we need to relook the church blueprint and ensure we're adhering to it. Amen? It's kind of quiet out there. Can I get an amen from somebody? Yes. There was a pastor that actually wrote the word amen on like his clipboard, and every once in a while I just kind of go like, amen. I'm not hearing you. Amen. He came to preach at Centro Cristiano Shiloh many years ago. So we're going to talk about what made it so powerful, so unstoppable, so effective in its mission. And I just want to tell you, there's so many elements of it already here. I see it. But God is wanting to prune us. God is wanting to tailor us into something even more effective and unstoppable. So point number one is big revelation. They committed to prayer. It says there in Acts 2, verse 41. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all, and all the believers devoted themselves to apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. And to, everybody say prayer. Prayer. Since the beginning of the discipleship process, the 12 noticed that Jesus did something often. He withdrew himself to pray. Actually, the Bible says, as he often did, or as he was accustomed to, says other translations. They began to understand that there was a constant communication process between Jesus and his Father. And it wasn't just when he went to the mountain or he withdrew himself. It's like there was always this connection between, a loving connection between the Father and the Son. It was always there. It was evident. So they asked him, you know, there's something different about how Jesus operates. Teach us to pray. Give us some baby steps. So he did, right? He gave him the Lord's Prayer. He gave him a blueprint of sorts for how prayers should be, you know, done. You know, you can break it down, and we've studied it in the past, how the Lord's Prayer is a model of how we should pray. And how did Jesus do that? Whenever he had a very important decision, he would seek the Lord. You see the order of things? You pray, and then you go do. You pray, and then go do. You hear what God is saying, and then you go do. Jesus said, I don't do anything unless I first see the Father doing it. And it says, I don't say anything unless I first see the Father saying it. He didn't waste any words or effort. It's interesting that sometimes he would not say anything. Like when Pontius Pilate was questioning him, he chose to not say much. But other times, he rebuked the Pharisees. At times he answered Pontius Pilate. Why? Because all of his words were ordained by the Father. He knew what to say because it was a constant, you know, communication with him and the Father. And let me tell you, that is not just something set aside for Jesus. It is for us. Have you ever said something you're like, did that just come out of my mouth? That was pretty good. That was anointed. You know, God will have you say things and do things that you weren't planning on saying or doing. Because the Holy Spirit is moving you, because he loves people, and he wants to use you. So in Luke 6, the Bible says that he spent all night in prayer, and then the next day he chose his 12 disciples. It doesn't give as much description of how it happened, but I imagine that as he was praying, God began to show him the faces. Because he had a following. Those 12 he had been around, and probably many others. But he said, no, you know this guy Peter, he's a little rough. He's not perfect, but he's going to be good later on. And of course, his brother Andrew and James and John and Bartholomew and all the way down the list. He began to see them, and he set them aside for such an important mission. Those that would be with him. So he spent the whole night in prayer. And like I said, they weren't picked because of what they were at that moment, but what they would become because of the potential that he saw in them. Because he also wanted to shame the Pharisees who were learned, but yet they didn't know the way. They were twisting the way. And we know that also the Holy Spirit was released after a time of intense prayer in the upper room. How many were there? 120, right? Not many, but they had fervor. And Jesus warned them, do not start ministering until what? Until my power has come upon you. You need my power in your life. That is why we're setting aside 18 days of prayer and fasting. We got a lot of ideas for 2021, but we want to make sure they're God ideas, not just good ideas. We don't just want to get into activism. We don't just go out and want to do stuff in the community, because what we want is souls. We want is souls. We want lives changed and transformed. We want to see you guys disciple. I've been praying for you. I was here praying yesterday, and I said, God, I pray that their hearts will burn, that this year will be different. I'm no longer going to be the same. I'm not going to shrink back. I'm going to step into new things, higher things this year. That's what I've been praying for. You know, but I can't make you do those things. You know, like I said, you can take the horse to the water, but you can't make him drink it. All I can do is I can, you know, salt the oats a little bit, make him a little thirsty, you know. But it's called the anointing. It says that when Peter preached, it says that they were pricked to the heart. That's what the anointing does. And I pray that the anointing will burn on your backside. And you're like, I got to get up out of this seat. I got to do something different. I got to raise my hands. I'm going to get up tomorrow. I'm going to read my word. I'm going to get up tomorrow and I'm going to, you know, praise him. I'm going to pray for 10, 15, 20 minutes until I connect with him. I'm not just going to do it religiously, but I want to connect with him. I want to be with him. Hallelujah. The first missionary trip ever began with prayer and fasting. Acts 13, verses 1 through 3. It says, among the prophets and teachers of the church at Antioch of Syria were Barnabas, Simeon, called the black man, Lucius from Cyrene, Manan, the childhood companion of King Herod Antipas, and Saul. And one day as these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, oh, how important it is to fast. They were seeking God's will. You know, like I said, it's not about us twisting God's hand at what we want, but he changes our heart. He prepares our heart. And so they were saying, God, what do you want us to do? And it says there, appoint Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Who said it? Holy Spirit said it. And then at verse 3, so after more fasting and prayer, the men laid their hands on them and sent them on their way. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit was saying, I have a plan for Asia Minor and for Europe, and it begins now. I don't want you to go towards the east. I don't want you to go towards Africa. I don't want you to go towards, you know, what's Russia now. I want you to go through Asia Minor, which is present-day Turkey, and I want you to go to Europe, to these cities. When you go there, I don't know why I just had this picture. Have you seen Star Wars? Remember there's a scene where like Luke Skywalker on the very first movie, which thankfully was the fourth episode, you know, the ones that's older from like the 70s, you know. And he begins to shoot. And he's got a little viewer or something like that. And then he hears this voice. Just trust your senses. And everywhere he was hitting, it was effective. He was hitting all the strategic places in the Death Star. You know, that's what happens when we're operating by the Holy Spirit. Every single one of our spiritual bombs that we send out is strategic. Something, you know, wherever you put that, you know, that prayer, something amazing happens. There's fruit in your life everywhere you go. Everywhere you go. Like it says in Ezekiel 47, you're like a tree planted by the water. Your roots are deep into the water of God. And it says you give your fruit in season. It just comes month to month, it says. Just fruit just continually coming. You know, everywhere you go, people, when they're around you, they just feel re-energized. They feel refreshed. They feel encouraged. They, you know, they even feel a little pricked to live, you know, more holy because they're around you. Not because you're constantly, you know, telling them, hey, you're a sinner or anything like that. Just your very lifestyle just makes everybody prop up a little bit. You know, those are the people that are rooted in prayer and fasting. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you, as we begin the year, you need to begin to think about sowing and reaping. You probably heard this adage before, but you've never heard this. I want you to hear this. Stephen Covey once said this, is a leadership guru. He says, if you sow a thought, you will reap an action. If you sow an action, you will reap a habit. If you sow a habit, you will reap character. And if you reap you sow character, you will reap destiny. Goes from a thought. What are the thoughts that you have in right now? What actions will you begin to sow? What habits will you begin to develop? How will your character be changed as you do these things? Because the things that matter, you know, you can go to conferences, you know, here and there throughout the year, but unless you have those daily habits in your life, power won't be released. God wants to spend time with you every day. Every day. The psalmist says, I will seek you in the morning. I will seek you in the morning. Something special about setting aside the first part of the day. You know, getting up a little earlier. Even if it's just 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes early, just say, God, I'm going to give you the first part of the day so that you will guide me through the end of the day. I know some people are like, I'm a night owl. I like to do my devotions at the end of the night. You know, that's fine. But I would say, at least say, good morning, Holy Spirit. read a few verses and just pray in the morning and just kick off your day. If you want to do your full devotional later in the night, that's fine. But I would say kick off the morning. Sow an action, reap a habit, you know, sow a habit, reap character, and that's going to turn into your destiny. And then it says that the church grew exponentially all throughout the region. We must begin 2021 with prayer and fasting for our personal revival. If you're a ministry leader, you know, a connection group leader, this is a key. You have to pray for the people that are in your connection group, for your youth ministry, for your children's ministry, for Celebrate Recovery. It requires prayer, prayer, prayer. We're going to pray this year. We're going to seek the Lord's face. We're going to do spiritual warfare over people. We're going to, you know, win the battles in the spirit and see the manifestation of the natural. Are you understanding? I'm giving you some spiritual principles. You want to see your marriage change? You need to pray. You want to do better at your job, then you need to pray. You have relationship issues, you need to be praying. You win those battles in the Spirit. Point number two, they committed themselves to the apostles' teaching. They committed themselves to the apostles' teaching. Verse 42 again, all the believers, what does it say, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, and to sharing meals, and eventually to prayer. So, and you can see there's other ingredients that are pointed out, like fellowship, sharing of meals. See, there it is. I talked about food. Having things in common. But these naturally occur when you have good prayer and teaching. And then the thing I'm going to give you here in a little bit, the third point. Because Jesus said this, the truth will what? Set you free. The truth will set you free. He said that He came to release the oppressed, as He was anointed to release the oppressed. The deception of the enemy, the twisting of God's reality throughout history, the very image of God, I like to think of it, has been pixelated in each of us. I have to say it in terms that everybody understands, pixelation. You know, all of a sudden, we don't really know who we are, but if we only knew who we are in Christ, who we are in God, how much He loves us, we would live differently. We would live differently. And by the way, in case you want to know how you're doing, there's two tests. You don't need to be here to take them to figure out how you're doing in your life, how you're spending your time, and what are you spending your money on. That will tell you all you need to know. We used to say your checkbook, but people don't have checkbooks anymore, Pastor. Yeah, they just don't have them anymore, you know. We need to instill the values, the wisdom of heaven. We need to provide the tools for effective Christian living to people regularly. That's why we have the foundation scores, and we have discipleship course, and we have like encounter retreats and re-encounters, and then we have, you know, the EXO conference, and we bring in speakers because we want to make sure that we're giving you the sound doctrine that's anointed that can change your life. Jesus commanded us to teach all the things that He had taught us. Jesus knew the Word of God was able to not only Jesus knew the Word of God, not only could He expound on it, it wasn't just about head knowledge, but He lived it right in front of them. Jesus never asked His disciples to do anything He hadn't done before them. And that's one of the issues with our discipleship process today, is as we say, hey, here's some theory, go make it happen. No, Jesus said, watch how I do it. Everything that He asked them to do, including death, He showed them. And guess what? They were all willing to die for Him. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24-29. This is one of the key passages for our foundation scores. Listen, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, these teachings, this doctrine, and does them, I will liken him or her to a wise person, if I can just say that, who built his house on the rock, and it says, and then the rain descended. 2020 can happen. 2021 may even come. The floods came and the winds blew and beat down on that house, on your soul, on your emotions, on your being. But it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. And who is the rock? Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, I mean, you're just getting head knowledge, you're just coming to church, you just sit there, you know, watching your videos online, but you don't connect with people. You're not being trained as a disciple. You're not spending time in prayer. You're not loving on people. You're not giving of yourself, giving of your money and time. You're like a foolish person who built his or her house on the sand. And then the rain descends, the troubles come, the crisis come, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and because of that, it just fell. We have lost some along the way. Because there were hearers of the word, but not doers of the word. There were hearers of the word, but not doers of the word. And then it says, and great was its fall. Now, God loves you too much. He'll give you ample opportunity and warning. But the Bible says in Proverbs, you know, and I don't want to misquote it, so I'm going to just look at the scripture here. I believe it's chapter 29. Listen to this. He who is often rebuked and hardens his neck will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Let me say that again. He or she who is often rebuked and hardens their neck will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. God gives us opportunity and opportunity, but I'm telling you, when God steps up the heat in the church, the heat of revival, you need to heed the word. You know, like it says in Revelation, hear what the angel's saying to the church. He who has ears to hear what I'm saying. As we begin 2021, let's step it up. Amen? You need teaching that's anointed by Jesus, that is actionable, experiential, hallelujah, that you can put into practice in an ongoing manner. You can learn from your mistakes. We're all going to make mistakes, but we learn from them, and we get up every time. So the Bible says that the righteous falls 6 times, but 7 times he's going to get up. As long as you don't stop getting up, you're going to be okay. Just don't quit. Keep trying. Keep trying to live the Christian life. The enemy's cunning. You know, so as you're learning how to defeat him, you're going to have some trips. You're going to have some falls. But just keep getting up. We're not going to judge you here. We're going to love you, because our purpose is for you to know God. Amen. For you to find a family, for you to experience freedom, and to fulfill your purpose. So we're going to encourage you along the way. All of us are sinners that have been redeemed. All of us have come from the same place. All of us one day have to come to Jesus and repent and be baptized. So maybe you're here today and your life is not where it should be. This is the day for you to recommit your life to Christ. If you're cold, if you're lukewarm, that's not where you need to be in 2021. Because I'm telling you, there will be floods. There will be fires. But you need to be close to the Master. Amen? If so, then you become complete. You become immovable. And you become a severe threat to the enemy. A severe threat to Satan and his plans. And my last point, it says that they live fully committed to the body. Let me explain this, because those words are not exactly like that. But let me show you from this passage. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 46. Let's do it again. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, sharing of meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. It says a deep sense of awe, hallelujah, came over them all. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. I need to read that again. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They were so committed to the body, committed to unity, and like, what I have is not my own. It says they sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. Oh, how the church needs this today. Some of us think that what we have is because we earned it. Even though you're using God's breath and God's body that he gave you and God's opportunities, the fact that you were born in America with freedoms, we lack gratefulness sometimes. We forget we're just stewards. God is testing your heart with what he has given you. What are you doing with it? It says they worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and what? Generosity. Look at these descriptors. There was a deep sense of awe. What does that mean? A sense of destiny. A momentum that was building. A feeling of, we're going somewhere. The church is going somewhere. We're effective change. We're affecting change in our community. God is in our midst. God is pleased with us. God is with us. There was joy in the midst of trials, and mighty unity and satisfaction. You don't need more stuff. You want to be full in your heart. That's what you want. You want to be satisfied with life. That's what you want. You don't need more stuff. Ain't going to do it for you. You want God in your midst. You want to be connected to people. God created you to be in relationship. The people that don't want to be in relationship is people that have been hurt. But God wants to heal you. And God wants to bring the body close to you that will say, look, we're not going to harm you. We're not going to reject you. You've been rejected and hurt. I mean, we're not perfect. We still do things sometimes that where we hurt people, but we also are quick to repent and be humble. Yeah, I've been praying, God, this has been my prayer this year, Lord God. I truly want to esteem others higher than myself. I say that with tears because the thoughts of my heart trouble me sometimes. I want to truly love people. When I was a kid, I was a very angry kid. I got in fights. I remember with tears, I would say, God, I don't want to be this way anymore. And he changed me. He made me self-control and peaceful. And he gave me purpose. And he told me, I called you from your mother's womb. So I said, God, if you change me in the way I used to be, what can you change me in this area? I want to love people. And every time I do that, he fills my heart. I hope that you can hear my heart today. For 2021, we can't be the same. We gotta go all out for God. When you pray, when you commit yourself to discipleship and sound doctrine, and you commit yourself to the body, God releases favor and power like never before. We don't want just pockets, we want like a major revival among us. But here's another important thing. You have to surrender. Surrender. You need to get to the point where you say, my life is not my own. My life is not my own. You need to let go of private ambition. That you can still live your own life apart from God. Work out your plan that you had since you were a teenager or since your 20s. This is my life plan. Telling you what to do, but to say that the pinnacle of success is for you to retire and get an RV and travel the country. If God calls you to that, great. I know some people that do that. I know this group of master builders. They get on their RVs and they go throughout the country and they build churches. But I'm telling you, I want to be about my Father's business. I want us to 2021 to be a defining year for Shiloh and for Sierra Vista and for Cochise County, because that's the jurisdiction that I feel that God has given us. You cannot serve both God and riches. And one of the most key indicators that you have surrender is what you do with what God has given you. When you know you're just a steward, when you pray, when you commit to be the disciple, when you have a life of praise, I really believe the fragrance, that's what the Bible calls the fragrance of the gospel is released. Something that's unseen. It can only be sensed in the spirits of the people. Even now, there could be somebody in a home that's going, I need something. I need God. Maybe I should turn on the television. Maybe I should go to Facebook and find a message. There's a fragrance that goes out there because the people you've been praying for all of a sudden go, like the prodigal son, they look up to heaven and says, I've sinned against heaven and against my Father. I must return home. I need to come home. That's the point when your life begins to awaken hunger in others and the favor with people increases. This is the church blueprint. And the benefits are this, or the end of the matter is this. 247 says, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. God will give us favor. No matter what's going on in the news, God will give us favor. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. It's not supposed to be a weird thing that people get saved. The gospel is powerful. Let our lives salt the oats of the people in this community. 2021 is the year of discipleship. We must go back to the church blueprint and begin with prayer as we begin our 18 days. Come on, just make the decision. I'm going to sow an action even today, tomorrow. I'm going to begin to seek God. I'm going to do things differently, for not just for you, for your children, for your grandchildren, for those to come, for your neighbors, for your coworkers. True commitment to the body. If so, then God, who loves the whole world, he sure does, he gave his only son, will bless us with the fruit of the gospel, life saved and changed for eternity. Let us commit to prayer and fasting. Let us sign up for the foundation's course today. If you haven't done it, don't leave without signing up. Join a connection group. Start a connection group if you're at that point. Like I said, if you lean others, pray for them. Encourage them face to face. Say, hey, just like I went through this, we call it the ladder of success. You know, win, connect, train, send. I've gone through it. I think you should go through it. You know, when I went through the foundation course, my life was touched. I made friends. And then I went to an encounter retreat. My life was changed. You encourage them. Give them your testimony. You'd be amazed what a testimony will do for people.